You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
I'm Drew Leiter.
And I'm Cletus Jacobs.
And welcome to another edition of the Earth Station DCU. Tonight we're going to talk Action Comics number 1004, Titans number 28, Batgirl number 28, Justice League Odyssey number 2, Flash number 57, The Terrifics number 9, Wonder Woman number 57, Supergirl season 4 episode 3 Man of Steel, Arrow season 7 episode 3 Crossing Lines, Legends Tomorrow season 4 episode 2 Witch Hunt, Flash season 5 episode 4 News Flash, Black Lightning season 2 episode 4 The Book of Consequence, Chapter 4, Translucent Freak, and Titans, Season 1, Episode 3, Origins. But before we get into that, let's talk some DC news. Alright, Cletus, first up for DC news, the final season of Gotham premieres January 3rd, 2019. Don't get all excited about it.
The only thing, I don't remember, I don't know if we talked about it, but they released a picture of Bane. Did we mention this before?
I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast.
Man, podcast it does not look good. That was bad. I don't understand why people are so reluctant to do the luchador mask. Like, that is such a simple thing. Like, just do that and you don't have whatever ridiculous thing that they came up with. Oh. I don't know. I'm sure it'll work within Gotham's weird thing that they have going, but yeah. I can't say it filled me with enthusiasm.
And I'm still a few seasons behind on Gotham. By the time I get caught up, it's going to be over. I'll get to the rest of it at some point. All right. Next for DC News, The Flash's Jesse L. Martin, Detective West, is going to be taking a leave of absence due to a back injury. If you notice, we haven't seen Joe up and walking around. They've had him in sitting sequences during the show. So hopefully he gets better soon because his absence is going to be felt, that's for sure.
You know, I hadn't noticed it, but now that you mention it, I'm remembering that almost every scene I've seen him in, he's been sitting down.
That's why.
Yeah. I do. I hope he is able to recover soon.
I do too. I mean, he's such an integral part of the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, and up next for DC News, Ewan McGregor is to play Black Mask in the Birds of Prey movie. So, kind of excited about that choice. Always liked him as when he played Ben Kenobi in the prequels.
Yeah, I am. I was really excited by that news. I can honestly say that that was not somebody I was expecting to get cast in that role.
Yeah, me either. So I found that surprising, but kind of cool.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, and for our last bit of DC news, Bob Frazier has been cast as Roger Hayden, a.k.a. Psycho Pirate, for the CW's Elseworlds crossover. Frazier's character is reportedly scheduled to appear in the Flash and Supergirl episodes as an inmate of Arkham Asylum. So it doesn't sound like he's going to be playing a major role, but it's kind of cool he's going to be there.
Yeah, I mean, every time news comes out about this crossover, I'm like, I'm already excited. I can only get so excited for this crossover.
Who would ever think we'd see Psycho Pirate in a television DC show?
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. It's crazy. We live in a pretty great reality right now.
Yeah.
In some ways. In terms of comic book stuff, at least.
Yes. Awesome time for comic books. All right. Well, that wraps up our DC news for this week. Let's take a short break. And when we come back, we'll do our comics talk.
This week on Myopia Defend Your Childhood. Why We Defend Your Childhood is so named because I believe we are short-sighted on the things we watched as kids. So every week we watch a movie that one of the panelists grew up watching and see if they hold up, from comedy to cartoons or to action. And for this season, the last Thursday of each month, we're doing a TV show in our Myopia Mornings segments. We watch Saturday morning cartoons and afternoon classics. So find us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. How will you stand when we put your past on trial? Myopia Defend Your Childhood is a member of the ESO Network and produced by Dude Letter Podcasting.
And we're back! But before I get into this week's comic books talk, we gotta let you know, there's gonna be spoilers.
We got spoilers!
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 We've got spoilers!
Spoilers!
For you! We got spoilers!
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 Spoilers.
We've got spoilers,
spoilers
for you. For you.
All right, let's talk Action Comics 1004. All right, Cletus, I gave this the old thumbs down. I gave it a thumbs down, not because the writing or the artwork was bad, but I gave it the thumbs down because of how Bendis is handling Clark and Lois's relationship. Now, I've been married for 23 years, and you have your ups and downs in marriage, but this feels almost like a separation because it seemed to indicate that they would be living apart. I understand getting away from your spouse for short periods of time. Cliss and I have spent weekends apart from each other because of cons or, you know, going on trips with our friends and stuff, but we've never lived apart for any amount of time. I was curious what your opinion on this was.
It felt like Bendis creating the status quo that he clearly has wanted to write with the whole time without kicking the hornet's nest too hard. You know what I mean? I feel like he has clearly wanted to write classic Superman and Lois interacting separately with no son, and so he's managed to create that reality without actually undoing what everybody really liked about the Rebirth Superman, which was the family man. So he's like, no, he still is a dad. The son's just nowhere to be found. And no, he is still married, but they're going to basically interact as if they're not married anymore.
Yeah, this
I'm not a fan. In other words, not a fan, in case that wasn't clear.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it either, which is why I gave it the thumbs down. This is exactly what I did not want. So, but I mean, if he wants to write classic Superman, there's ways to do that without messing up the present timeline. You know what I mean?
Right, an Elseworld story. Okay.
Exactly. You could write an Elseworld series if you want.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't think anybody would say no to that.
No,
I certainly wouldn't.
I wouldn't either. I'd probably be reading it. I just don't. It's just like, you got to be kidding me. This feels un-Clark-like to me. You know what I mean? And I can't see Lois wanting to live apart from him either. It just doesn't feel right.
No, well, that was the thing. It doesn't make sense. To me, it did not make sense story-wise. It felt like it was Bendis establishing the status quo that he wants to work with without
changing anything.
Overtly changing the status quo. He clearly is. I mean, practically speaking, he is writing the way he wants. He's got essentially a single Superman with no son and wife, effectively. Technically, yes, he still does have those things, but Bendis has now created this situation where he basically doesn't.
Yeah. And I'm glad John's having a great time with his grandfather, Jor-El, but I'd like to see some of their adventures, too. I think it would be kind of interesting.
Lois's lack of my one thing that I'm curious about is, you remember they have been teasing there for a while, a couple months ago, they were teasing who do you think the Red Cloud is, and Lois was listed as one of the candidates.
Uh-huh.
I don't think necessarily that it's her, but her lack of concern about Jonathan was like, is there something else going on with this? Because she comes back, she's like, yeah, your father is exactly the jerk that we knew him to be, but it's fine. Your son's fine. It's like, those two things don't go together.
Yeah, it was kind of weird, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I guess we'll see.
We'll see. We'll keep our eyes on this, but I had to give it the thumbs down because of this thing. Nothing against Bendis or the artwork. I mean, the writing was great as it's been, but just where the story's going, I just don't like it. All right, let's move on to our next title for this week. Titans number 28. I gave it the old thumbs up. Nightwing is no longer the leader of Titans, of course, because he was shot in the head in Batman 55, which we've talked about before. One of the things with the Titans right now, it's not clear who the leader is. But in this issue, it's another prelude to the Earth Drowned, which is why I threw it on the schedule. Basically, we saw Tempest is back with the Titans in this one, and they basically attack one of the ships that's invading Earth, and not much else happens except they gather some intel for the Justice League. I mean, it was an okay Titans issue.
But it didn't... See, your description of this comic is the reason I gave it a thumbs down. There's no point to read this comic. In my opinion, there's no point in reading this comic. If you're reading it for the Titans storyline, nothing happens. If you're reading it for the Drowned Earth story, nothing happens. Like, I got nothing out of it. I've said this several times, but like, part of when I recommend a comic, like, there's got to be a point in spending money on buying a single issue rather than just getting the trade. What's the point for this one? It's just, there was nothing for me.
You know what? I have to agree with you on that. Nothing happened in this. And I had to go, I was behind on Titans issues. I actually went back and read up what was been going on with the Titans. This doesn't even fit in with the story of what that had been going on before. And the Nightwing thing happened, and I don't know if they had planned for with the Titans storyline going on, and now they have to take Nightwing off the table. I don't know. But I can see why you gave it the thumbs down.
It was not necessarily a bad comic, but it was just, no. I can't justify somebody spending money on this issue. There's just, you're honestly not going to get anything out of it.
That is true. All right, let's move on to Batgirl number 28. I gave this the old thumbs up. I thought the beginning of this issue gave a nice little wrap up of what's been going on in both Nightwing and Batgirl, at least before the shot in the head incident. Because we see the Dark Web organization in this, and the storyline that started out in Nightwing just kind of flowed into Batgirl now, and we see her dealing with it.
Okay, my one question, this was a thumbs up for me as well. My one question was, I don't remember her suspecting that Worm was part of this crime spree that Grotesque has been on. And then as soon as the story established that Worm was controlling the guy that's Grotesque, all of a sudden Batgirl seemed to know that as well.
Been a little bit since I read this.
I could be wrong, and because I didn't remember the specifics of the last issue, but I'm to my memory, this was all about Grotesque, and all of a sudden the story established that Grotesque was being controlled, at least, or in some parts being controlled by Worm. I was like, okay, that makes sense. That made sense. But then all of a sudden Batgirl seemed to know that she needed to be looking into Worm as well, and I was like, I didn't think that she knew that.
Okay, I don't think she knew that either. Because the issue before, Batgirl's framed for the original Grotesque death by Detective Douglas, who we find out is the actual Grotesque, the new Grotesque, who's working for Worm. It was a tad confusing, I thought.
The reveal that he was working for Worm, I thought, made sense. It was when they then, all of a sudden, Batgirl seemed to conveniently know to be looking into Worm as well. It was like, that feels like knowledge she would only have when she's being written by an author who's writing a story about Worm.
Okay. I want to address this with you, because the story with the Dark Web and Worm started out in Nightwing. And then Batgirl was a part of that story, and then it transitioned over to the Batgirl title. Do you think DC editorial made it so they had to change the story up, that Nightwing was supposed to be a part of this too?
Honestly, I don't think so, because this corresponds. They've probably had both of these, the Batgirl costume change and the Nightwing change, lined up simultaneously for some time. I don't know. It feels like
one of the things DC is clearly trying to do with a lot of their titles is getting you to buy multiple titles by incorporating characters. It's like Nightwing and Batgirl. Obviously, that has a lot of crossover appeal. Like, you're probably going to have a lot of readers for both of those. By starting a story like that in Nightwing with Batgirl playing a prominent role, it makes sense to then move the story over to Batgirl from a business standpoint, because then you're hopefully moving, you're shifting readers over to Batgirl. That coincides perfectly with her costume change.
So I was just curious what your opinion was on that.
Yeah, I mean, and I could I have no inside information. I have no idea. But to me, it just seems like a, you know, publishing scheme, I guess, so to speak, in a way to help generate bigger numbers for Batgirl.
I don't know. I didn't know if part of the reason was kind of confusing because they were planning on him having both characters, and then the thing with Nightwing happened, and they're like, oh, we're gonna have to change the story up or something from what they originally wanted to do, you know, because they could have had the two different stories planned out, and then find out that, oh, hey, Nightwing's gonna be off the table for a while for you, and then they had to change the story. I don't know.
Now, but did she even mention Nightwing? It, like, in terms of the new status of Nightwing in this comic, though?
I can't remember.
See, that's what makes me think that it's not connected, because there was I don't recall any mention of that. This story seems to be happening somewhat disconnected from what happened to Nightwing.
That was disappointing that Nightwing's not going to be part of this, because I really enjoyed them kind of working together. So
I agree with you there. I can't disagree with that.
All right, well, let's move on to our next title for this week, Justice League Odyssey number 2, which I gave the old thumbs up. I was really intrigued with the mystery of why Starfire, Cyborg, Azrael are gods in this ghost sector. And the introduction of the idea of the multiverse key, I was really curious about what that is. And is Darkseid really after this object of power? Or is he really wanting to be behind saving the universe?
Yeah, I also gave it a thumbs up. I continue to be interested in this story. I will admit, part of me has been questioning the longevity of this title. I don't know. It doesn't seem like it'll have a lot of legs. It feels like it's got like one or two stories in it. But as of now, that one or two stories is pretty good. So we'll see.
Yeah. This feels like a mini series to me, yeah, honestly.
I would agree with that.
All right. Let's move on to our next title for this week. Flash number 57. Gave it the old thumbs up. Flash isn't as good as it can be. I almost gave this a thumbs down, Cletus, but because I'm not that interested in the extra forces that this book is insisting on telling, but I'm interested in where the story's going. We haven't been reviewing the last few issues of Flash because it hasn't been as good, but the Sage Force was introduced in issue number 55. What is the Sage Force? While the Strength Force gave strength, the Sage Force gives telepathy. This is what we find out. And Flash and Detective Burns become trapped in Mick Roy's mind and must find a way out. So that's basically what this story was about. But what I'm more interested in is this Force quest. And we see Barry consult the Flashes on 52 Earths again and how he should begin his Force quest. We see Iris deciding to go with him to leave Central City, and I'm really interested in this multiverse quest he's going to be going on.
For me, it was a thumbs down. I agree. I was intrigued by the next arc that's coming up, but that doesn't make this like it doesn't excuse this issue. I don't know. For me, it was just like if the most interesting thing about this comic is that it's setting up the next comic, then it's not worth it to me. And I also, the threat at the end, they show that Zoom is still around, and it's just like, but we already saw this specific story, specifically Zoom harnessing these other forces. Like, what's he going to do? He's going to get them again, and then the exact same thing's going to happen. Like, I can just reread that first story. It's going to be, if it's not as anticlimactic as the first one is, I'd be shocked.
Okay. Well, I'm interested in where it's going, so.
I'd be pretty pessimistic, I have to admit. But, like, I just can't, if you already told one story with Hunter Zolomon harnessing these different forces and it basically was such a blah story, and you're building up to him harnessing these forces again to fight the Flash, like, you've demonstrated that you can't tell an interesting story with that once already.
All right. We'll keep our eye on this and see where it goes. I was excited to see Johnny Thunder, though. So it was the ending of this issue that I gave was the reason why I gave it the thumbs up instead of the thumbs down. Because originally that's what I gave it. All right, let's move on to our next title for this week. The Terrifics number 9. Of course, it gets a thumbs up from me. Another great issue of the Terrifics. I love seeing the different worlds again, especially the cartoon world. That was fun. I love seeing Tom Strong and Mr. Terrific working together. That was great. I love the battle with the Dr. Dread robots. And I was very interested in the reveal that Java is Dr. Dread. And if I remember right, I think you called this one.
I don't remember. I don't remember if I specifically thought he was Dr. Dread, but he was. I definitely knew that he was up to way more than what people thought.
Okay, I thought I remembered you speculating that he was Dr. Dread, that he could possibly be Dr. Dread.
I can't remember. Let's say yes. I definitely called it.
Well, I'm sure listeners will call us out on it. So, but yeah, great. Another great issue of the Terrifics.
Absolutely, yeah. Thumbs up for me, of course. I love this title. It's a great title.
Yes. All right, and for our last title for this week, Wonder Woman number 57. The old thumbs up for me, but I'm kind of sad that Wonder Woman is dead. Yeah, I don't
sure
think
she is.
Yeah. Wow. What I was very surprised to learn was that John Constantine has cancer. And I find this interesting. I'm wondering if it's magically based cancer.
That was the interesting thing. They seem to suggest that maybe the Upside Down Man basically gave him cancer again. I'm interested to see if that lasts or not. I mean, obviously, they're not going to kill John Constantine off. And if they do, he won't stay dead for very long. But yeah, I mean, this was just another, just a really good issue. I've very much enjoyed this whole storyline. I'm generally not a huge fan of when a storyline jumps from title to title, but they've done a pretty good job with this one. It just kind of, it's flowed pretty well, despite being written by different people and being in different titles.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I believe the conclusion to this is in the issue next week, so very excited about that. All right, well, that wraps up our comic books talk for this week. Let's take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk our CW shows.
Why should I listen to the Nerd Bliss podcast?
Because we go there.
Where?
Everywhere.
Human sexuality.
They don't care what's in your pants, they love you anyway.
Time travelers.
The problem is time will f*** back with you.
Politics and fandom.
What Star Wars has been prior to Disney. It is a white male driven universe.
Find us at nerdblisspodcast.com.
And on social media at nerdblisspod. Part of this complete breakfast and the ESO network.
The Nerd Bliss podcast.
Listen!
And we're back. Let's talk Supergirl season 4 episode 3, Man of Steel. I thought it was great to see Martian Manhunter go into action to save Kara. I wish we could get more of him because they use him so sparsely on this show, and we all know it's because of budget reasons, but I do love seeing Martian Manhunter.
Yeah, gotta agree with you there. I really enjoyed this episode. Just getting to see the evolution of the Agent of Liberty was, I mean, not a happy story by any means, but it was really interesting.
Yeah, because the focus of this episode was on him, and I really liked the fact that they took the time to show us his whole backstory.
And I love the way they told it too, where you got these consistent interactions with different characters within Supergirl's world, and you could kind of see different moments in just like Supergirl's normal life, you know what I mean? And just like a normal day where she goes and saves somebody quickly and then goes off, or she's hanging out at the karaoke bar, or just whatever. I very much enjoyed this episode.
Yeah, And we saw these interactions and how they affected this family too. Because I kept saying this family kept getting hit hard and harder and harder. And we saw how it changed Agent Liberty's attitude. You know, he kind of took on his father's hatred, basically.
It was a lot of it was so self-inflicted, though, was the thing. Like, they were, yes, they were infected. That was the thing I really liked about the episode, was that it showed that negative things happen to them, but they let that turn into hate instead of rolling with the punches, so to speak.
Yeah, because they didn't want to change.
Yeah. Their refusal to adapt and change was really, that really was their downfall. The father refusing to do nth metal, and then the professor, like, the hate starts to creep into him, and when he refuses to keep that to himself when he's teaching class.
Yeah, I mean, he brought that upon himself.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, very interesting. And this episode did a great job of showing how hatred can seep into your heart and can take control of your life if you don't have an open mind to change.
Yeah.
Of course, I don't know why they called this Man of Steel. I mean, I know why, but that's kind of Superman's kind of title thing. I was like, they could have came up with a better title than that.
I don't know. I thought it was pretty clever.
I guess. All right, let's move on to our next episode for this week. Arrow Season 7, Episode 3, Crossing Lines. Man, I am really loving Arrow this season. Last week, we saw Oliver stab himself to get the guard in trouble that he was supposed to take out. And this week, Oliver just continues to struggle as he tries to make his way to someone called the Demon, the person that will lead him to Diaz. So I thought this was a great episode.
Yeah, Arrow has been really good, for me at least, so far this season. I have very much enjoyed the show. I'm seeing Oliver's kind of journey through prison. I think Flash could learn a few things from Arrow sticking to a status quo for a little while.
Yeah, we talked about this last week.
Just saying. But it's been like seeing Oliver handle being in prison and everybody else dealing with that reality has been really great. I love the decision to have the continuation of Diaz just as a season decision to have him, at least thus far, continue to be the villain of the show. I think is great. I think it's really good for the show because they don't have to waste time establishing a new guy. You've already got him and everybody already hates him. And so they're all focused on this guy that you know what he's capable of doing.
They're not overdoing Diaz either. He hasn't popped up that much, really. It's more of his legend. You know what I mean? He's there. He's out there. He's causing problems, but you don't see him pop up too much in the episodes. And I kind of like that.
Oh, yeah, I agree. His elusiveness is part of the thing. Like, they're all obsessed with tracking down the, like, they're used to, and us as an audience, we're used to the bad guy getting taken down in the last episode. And really, for the first time, they didn't do that. And so now that they're wrestling with trying to track this dude down, yeah, I totally agree.
I loved it when Felicity went to Agent Watson and got her to agree to work with her and Renee. You know, kind of to cross the line to defy her FBI orders to go after Diaz. I mean, things kind of go south for them, and Diaz escapes. But Felicity is able to capture the silencer. But she doesn't tell Agent Watson. So, you know, Agent Watson, because she didn't capture Diaz, she kind of gets in trouble and gets reassigned to Washington, D.C. But we have Felicity and Renee have captured the silencer. And I don't know. It seems like Felicity may be going to a dark place. What do you think?
I agree completely. I think you are exactly right.
This season has been really great so far.
It's definitely been a strong start to the show. I hope it continues.
Now, the other thing I want to talk about, Lila, John, and Curtis on their little secret mission to Switzerland. That was interesting, too, and you know, the end result of that is kind of Lila's doing her own kind of vigilante work. So I thought that was kind of interesting, too.
I'm curious to see where that's going to go. Part of me thinks that Diaz is not going to be the bad guy at the end of the season. I could be wrong. I do feel like there's something else that the show's going to, like, reveal. Yeah, halfway through, which I'm fine with. We've talked about this. I would love for the 23 episodes is frankly too long for one villain. Splitting up the season, I think it worked for Arrow last season, so I would not be opposed to them doing that again.
I wouldn't either. One last thing I wanted to discuss before we move on. Do you think this demon person is somebody Oliver from Oliver's past, somebody he's dealt with before?
Man, I really think so.
That's what I was thinking too. I was really curious who it was. But I guess we'll have to wait and see. All right, moving on to our next episode for this week. Legends of Tomorrow, Season 4, Episode 2, Witch Hunt. Fairy Godmother as the antagonist in this episode was great. I loved it. It was so freaking funny.
I mean, it was 2 for 2 in terms of unexpected magical threats. I know they're not going to be doing that necessarily the whole season, but I wouldn't be opposed to it either. Just like every episode is just like what would normally be considered like a good or cute magical creature being the villain.
Yeah, I can't see them doing it forever either, but it has been fun the last two episodes. John Constantine was great in this episode. I loved how he joined the team, but only as a consultant with no costumes. Anyone's pay. I thought that was pretty funny.
I am looking forward to more friction between him and Rory.
Oh, yeah, I am too. Their personalities, they're just gonna butt heads. They're going totally some total different direction with Nate this season.
That really surprised me. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. So it seems like they're maybe relegating him to more of a minor role on the show, which is I'm a little bummed by.
Yeah, I was too, because he's been a great addition to the Legends, and it seems like he's going to be have an office position at the Time Bureau, and I'm not really sure why they're doing that. Why they're going this direction. Is it because they want to kind of incorporate Ava more into the Legends and have a kind of side story going on with them? I was curious why they're going with the storyline.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, part of Legends' thing is that they have a rotating roster, but I was hoping his time wasn't quite up yet.
I don't know. I'm not really sure what they're planning on doing with Nate, so it's really interesting. They want him to do stuff with his father, obviously. I was wondering how they were going to do that, and I didn't know he was going to end up being somebody who's in charge of funding them. So that was an interesting storyline. You know, I'm loving Legends this season too. I love the fact that you can have a show that's darker like Arrow and Black Lightning, and then you can have a lighter show like Legends where it's just fun.
I think having Arrow and Legends back to back, I know that they're opposites of each other, but I just feel like they work well together. You get this really gritty story with Arrow, and then you get just ridiculousness with Legends.
Yes. And Legends is just fun. All right, let's move on to our next episode for this week. Flash, Season 5, Episode 4. Newsflash. All right. We found out the real reason that Nora is mad at Iris. And we find out that Iris had a chip implanted into Nora to suppress her powers. And she didn't even find out about them from her mother. She found out about her powers from someone else. Found this really interesting. And I think it kind of furthers our theory that maybe the Reverse Flash is behind this. Thoughts?
Yeah, I would agree. I also thought that it was some typical CW drama that Nora would be punishing past Iris for a decision she hasn't even made yet. and then got mad at Barry for defending Iris, who has, again, not yet made that decision in that timeline.
But isn't that... Well, she's not a teenager, but...
No, that's the thing. She's not, but she is a CW character.
Yeah, that's true. I was going to say that's typical of a teenager, but she's not really a teenager. So I'm not really sure what her age is. They haven't really said.
I did think the villain on this one was kind of interesting. And then the reveal we get at the end that now we've got basically like meta tech Interesting. Very interesting.
Yes, that is very interesting. And I think one of the reasons they introduced this, because the objects imbued with the dark matter, giving them special abilities. I'm guessing this is what happened to Cicada's dagger. And Cicada may not be a metahuman. It may actually just be the dagger that has the powers. What's your thoughts on that?
I'm just kind of looking forward to see what they're going to do with this. Like, I don't know. I just...
Yeah, I'm interested in seeing what they're doing with this, too. Oh, what'd you think of this? The Sherlock Wells-Ralph Dibny team-up?
It was exactly what I was hoping for. When we were talking last week about emphasizing the detective side of Ralph, it was perfect. This is perfect.
Yeah, it was great. I love they had their rivalry, but in the end, Ralph's gut instinct led Sherlock to his discovery, and he gave him credit for it. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've talked about this, but I think it continues to show the serial killer angle works really well for The Flash as a show.
Yeah, I agree with you. All right, well, let's move on to our next episode for this week. Black Lightning, Season 2, Episode 4, The Book of Consequences, Chapter 4, Translucent Freak. Well, Tobias is a free man. We knew this was going to happen. So, without any evidence to convict him of Alvin Pierce's death, the police have to let Tobias go. And this was Tobias's plan all along.
Yeah, and we knew that he was up to something. Yeah. And this makes sense. So now that he's finally been cleared of this charge, he doesn't have to hide, so to speak, anymore. He can kind of conduct his business more in the open.
Yep. And the other thing we saw in this episode, while in custody, Tobias's lawyer brings in a rival, kind of rival gang or something, who asked Tobias's permission to go after the metahuman who had been targeting their cash and giving it to the free clinic. And I think this is the beginning of us seeing Anissa get in trouble with her kind of Robin Hood act against the criminals.
Yeah, I would say you're probably right there.
And then at the end of this episode, we see Jennifer being in defiance of her parents' restrictive rules when she finally reaches out to Khalil. And I don't think that's going to go good either.
I don't think so either. I don't know, though. I do feel like Khalil is going to ultimately have a redemptive arc, though.
You think so?
They've kind of laid the groundwork for that. To be fair, though, I feel like they've laid the groundwork either way where they can show him being corrupted. But, like, we've at least seen part of him is still a little bit uneasy with the reality that he's in, that he doesn't totally want to work for Tobias. But we've also seen a couple scenes where he started to kind of enjoy doing it. So I feel like it could go either way, but I would suspect more so that he'll get a redemptive arc.
If he does get a redemptive arc, I could see him dying, getting killed off.
I wouldn't be surprised either way. Fully going down the villain path or redeeming himself, I wouldn't be surprised if he dies either way.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. All right, moving on to our last episode for this week. Titans, Season 1, Episode 3, Origins. Felt like we got a lot more questions than answers this episode of Titans. We did get to see the back of Bruce Wayne's head.
I'm pretty sure that's all we're going to get, but man, there was a couple things that overall, I just want to start out, overall, I really like this episode, but there were a couple things that started to bother me, just like knowing a little tiny things. One was young Dick Grayson. I almost thought we almost got through the whole episode without him ever talking, and it was starting to annoy me a little bit, where it's like, are we just going to have every scene where he's in just not talking? And then we finally got a little bit right at the end where he said he wanted to kill his parents' killer. So it's like, okay, thank you, finally.
Yeah.
And then the second thing unrelated to that was irking me a little bit was, and I get it, I understand it, but they kept asking Starfire questions and she kept saying, I don't know, I don't know. And I was like, can we just, I know she doesn't know, that's fine. but can we just like not have the characters ask her that question? Because it, as an audience member, it just got annoying. I was like, I also have these questions, and being told I don't know over and over is just annoying me.
Yeah, I could see that. And the mystery of Rachel's past seems to be the key to everything that's going on in this show. And while Corey Anders plays a pivotal role in this episode, we didn't learn much about her except the fact that she was looking for Rachel.
And I think that's the thing that frustrated me a little bit with this, is that I feel like not everybody's going to know Rachel's past, but comic book, especially Teen Titans fans, know that mystery. Like, I think you and I both know what's coming with that.
Oh, yeah. I know what's coming.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, that to me is not... It's an interesting story to watch, sure, but that's not a mystery that I'm intrigued by because I know that. And yet the show seems to be focusing on that as the main mystery, in which I feel like, especially because it's a DC service show, I would say 80% of your audience knows that reveal already. And so I'm surprised that that's the focus and not the mystery behind Corey. Because nobody knows what they're doing with that, because that is totally new.
Yeah. And it's interesting. I want to find out more. They're not giving it to us right now.
Which is fine. Like, I don't need it. Like, I mean, I want it. Don't get me wrong. But like, I don't need it. But it was, I started to get a little irked when the questions that they were asking that I wanted answers to, which was what's going on with Corey, I got, I don't know. And when they got mystery stuff with Raven, it was like, oh, but I know what's going on with that.
Yeah. I'm really interested in finding out what her backstory is. We did get to see Garth briefly in this episode. And it was kind of cool because they were all in one place for once, but they weren't really together.
Definitely not.
So... we do see Rachel running away at the end of this episode from the church, and my gut tells me that we'll be seeing more of Garth next episode.
I agree. One other thing I wanted to mention with this, I thought Dove died last episode. I did not think she survived, and when this episode started with her in the hospital, I was like, oh, well, that's a pleasant surprise.
I wasn't sure if they were going to kill her off or not. I was kind of waiting until this episode to get the answer to that. Because I was like, man, they just introduced her. I can't see them getting rid of her already. I mean, I'd be surprised, but I wouldn't be surprised. You know what I mean?
Yeah, this, yeah, no, I get you.
This series seems like anything can happen. But I was like, they just introduced a great character. Don't be killing her off yet. And because I really want to see more from Hawk and Dove. They have an interesting story too. And with the kind of love triangle with Dick, it's going to be interesting, I think. All right, well, that wraps up our show for this week. Do you have any shout outs, Cletus?
Yeah, so this is a little weird, or I shouldn't say weird, but a little obscure. One of the characters in the Wonder Woman story that's going on right now has Black Orchid as one of the characters that's getting taken over by Hecate. And I was trying to think, okay, well, I know about this character, and I don't know how many people, because she's an old character, but she kind of got reintroduced as a magical character during the New 52 in the Justice League Dark storyline that I like to reference a lot by Lemire. Specifically, she joins the team when Lemire takes over in Volume 2, The Books of Magic. And then it's during that arc. Initially, she joins the team as just a government agent. Does not, at least to her knowledge, does not have any magical powers or anything like that. And then as the comic goes along and then going into the next volume, she starts to realize that she is, in fact, a magical being. And it's not just meta powers.
Interesting. All right. And we'll have that in our show notes. All right. And for my shout out, I'm going to shout out about the Netflix series The Haunting of Hill House. I started watching that on Halloween and I can't get enough of it. It's a great series if you're into that kind of thing. I'm ready to watch the final episode. So once we wrap this show up and stuff, I'm gonna be watching that last episode. I've been excited to see it since I had to work at the bookstore tonight, and of course we had to do this podcast, and I'm like, That's what I've been looking forward to, watching that last episode. Have you seen any of that series, Cletus?
I have not. My girlfriend really hates scary stuff, and so I have enjoyed suggesting it many times when we go to watch something on Netflix.
Well, you know what? I've been watching this by myself, too, because my wife is not into that stuff at all. She would not like this series. I've been really enjoying it, and I've been making sure that when I watch it, I'm watching it with the in the dark with the lights out and stuff. I've just been really enjoying it. And it's had some good jump scare moments and stuff in it, and some creepy stuff in it, and I've really enjoyed it. It's really interesting, and it does a deep dive into the characters in the series too. You get to know them and what's going on in their life and stuff. So love it, highly recommend it. All right, well, if you'd like to give us feedback on anything we've talked about, you can reach our feedback line at 317-564-9133. Leave us a message, or you can email us at earthstationdcu@gmail.com. Coming up next week, we will be talking Heroes in Crisis, Justice League, Aquaman, Drowned Earth Number 1, Justice League Dark, and Wonder Woman, The Witching Hour. The Terrifics Annual is coming out. We'll have Supergirl, Arrow, Legends Tomorrow, and Titans. We will not be having Flash or Black Lightning. They are going on hiatus because of the election coming up. So we will be getting back to them the week after. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.